Welcome to Piercing the Veil on BBSRadio.com with your hosts Jordan and Corey and new guests appearing weekly. During the show, Jordan and Corey will pierce the many veils of illusion to reveal the universal truths and tools for negotiation inherent to success in one's daily life, including but not limited to 1. Multidimensional wordsmithing. 2. Mastering and commanding negotiations. 3. Constructive trust and wealth preservation. And 4. Spirituality. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right. Welcome back, world, to another episode of Piercing the Veil. Today is August 21st, 2016. This year has just flown by. We started the show in January. We've had a couple major projects this year. Some of them actually fell through. Most of them we're still working on right now. We've found out about a couple different alternative social media platforms, the first one being Plague that we're still using, and then Steemit as well, which is just taking off. That's something that we spoke about last week with a reoccurring guest. His name is Frank Bacon. If you haven't heard any of those shows, I definitely suggest that you go to our archives and check that out. And archives, whatever. I pronounce it the way I want. So, and that's BBSRadio/piercingtheveil/archives. Corey, how are you feeling today, man? It's good to have you back.
Oh, man. Can you hear me?
Maybe bring that volume back up.
How's that? That
excellent. So much better. Nice. Wonderful. Okay, well, today's topic is partnering versus parenting. I actually did a radio interview on this on Liberty Talk Radio with Joe Cristiano. That one went over really well, and I was able to get into a lot of good points. I will be touching on some of those, but I do want to make this as organic as possible. Corey, I know you have some concepts and ideas about the subject as well. So getting right into it, just as an intro, what really is the difference? You know, most parents might be thinking, hey, I thought I was doing the best I could for my child, you know, and keeping them safe from danger and yada, yada, yada. Well, yeah, there's certain things that you might be doing instinctively, but the other things that you're doing are probably scarring your child past a recognizable existence. Okay. So, you know, let's just be real with it. Nobody's perfect, but there are people that are better or more equipped to exercise certain skills than others, right? And it just takes practice, commitment, and attention. Let's talk about size, right? And no, ladies, no, I'm not going there. We're talking about physical size as far as authority or presumed authority that a parent has. Well, this is a small little physical body. This is a small little child, and I'm a big, tall parent. So I must have the authority. I must. It's sort of like a self-entitlement feeling. Do you understand what I'm describing, Corey? Is it, you know, I'm bigger than you, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's just sort of like an instinctual feeling for most parents. Well, I know best. And they even say this to their children. I know what's best for you. We know what's best for you. That's fucking bullshit. Right? So, are you still there, Corey?
Yeah, I'm still here. Most of the time.
Okay, excellent. You're kind of going...
Parents are just adult kids most of the time.
Well, you actually segued into what we would talk about later in the show, is that most parents are just children that grew up with dysfunctions that were imbued upon them by their parents. Until you break the cycle and do some real heavy internal work, you're always going to be coming from that position. I should say most people will be coming from that position of parenting, right? We described what a parent was briefly. Let me go into a little bit more detail. Don't do that. Stay away from that. Don't touch this. Get that out of your mouth. You know what I mean?
Get over here.
Get over here. I said now. Get over here. Right now. You know what I mean? Jordan, Michael, if you don't... That shit. That's parenting. And it's often dysfunctional. And it often scars the child. Now, on the other side of the coin, partnering, right? You wouldn't really equate this with a child-parent relationship because it's been ingrained in people that there needs to be a level of authority. I don't see it that way. I think there needs to be a level of safety, right? That's where everybody's claiming their authority. Oh, well, I need to keep my child safe, and I know what's best for them, so I'm going to just keep them off of every sharp object and everything, blah, 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 blah. Well, the first thing is to be competent as an adult, and to recognize, be or have awareness, if you will, of dangerous situations, and then to be able to delineate, is that really truly dangerous, or is that a life learning lesson for my child? If my child's going to fall down on the ground on the soil outside, maybe scrape his knee on some rocks or some sticks or something, I don't see that as a life-threatening event. I see that as a growth event. I see that as a learning event. I see that as my son will probably watch his steps a little bit more carefully next time, as opposed to me running over and grabbing him, rushing in like Superman every time, like a parent would, and think that's doing the best for their child. You're really, really taking. You're taking away from the experience of life. Let's just be honest. What's the one thing that teaches people faster than anything else, Corey?
Fucking up.
Your mic goes in and out a little bit, but I heard you. Fucking up, consequences, right?
Yeah, you know, consequences of your actions, you know?
Right. And it's ingrained in our society. You know, the consequence factor is ingrained in society. People only follow the rules because of some sort of presumed enforcement. You understand? Now, if we were taught somehow or shown somehow that these rules are, you know, here's the rules that if you don't follow, you're going to die. That simple. You don't follow this shit, you're dead. Got it? And then the other rules are sort of just negotiable. If you do this, you might have somebody do this back to you. Or if you do this, you might end up in jail for 30 years. Or if you do this, you might blah, 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 right? Things are going to happen anyways, even with consequences. But if people are more informed of why there are consequences and what that really means to them, you know, sort of a selfish appeal, but then they'd be more likely to correct or modify their behavior. It's the same thing in children, except they're clean, blank slates for the most part. You know, obviously you've pumped them full of vaccines and you've toxified their entire fucking system and ruined their immune system because you thought that was best. If you haven't done that, kudos to you, parents or partners. That would be qualifying as a partner. Basically, what you're doing is you're just physically conditioning on top of the biological conditioning that's already happening, and your child's going to grow up to be an asshole. Yeah, I said it. Your child's going to grow up to be an asshole, just like most of us grew up to be assholes. And some of us figured out, hey, I'm being an asshole. Why is that? And went back to our roots. You know, Corey, what do you think about that? It's sort of describing the difference between parenting and partnering and the presumed source of authority for parenting.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I mean, look at the animal kingdom, right? If you see a young horse or a young dolphin or a young bear or whatever, for the most part, they're following by example.
That's right.
Okay, so you get into that. You know, sometimes do as I say, not as I do. Sometimes that's just real. But the natural order of things, of animals and creatures, is that they learn by example. And then they learn through trial and error as time goes on.
That's a perfect point. And the animal has an instinctual sense of when to let my cub learn and when to protect the fucking shit out of it, right? Just like a human is going to have that same sense. It's not something we need to rationalize about unless you're just really, 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 really dumb and unskilled and by some godforsaken turn of events you have children, right?
Or you're traumatized yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So,
which is more normal than not, unfortunately.
That's right. And the whole process of weaning, I think, is a partnering process. So you'll see animals wean their young. Basically, they hear them crying, but they know that they're not going to die if they don't get food in, you know, the next 2 days. What they know is going to happen is that little cub or whatever it is going to instinctually seek out food because it's like, well, what else do I do? I can sit here and cry. And so there's a certain point that the cub will cry and cry and cry. And then by being by itself and learning that this isn't doing anything, it instinctively goes and seeks out food and starts to eat insects. It starts to eat worms. It starts to dig and burrow. It starts to do whatever it takes to survive.
Right. And more often than not, it's leading by example. Oh, I see my mother horse and the other horses around me. Oh, they're eating grass. Or, you know, the bear cub, you know, mom brought the fish and laid it down in front of them. They weren't interested. But when we weaned them, they're like, oh, maybe I should eat that now. I mean,
well, again, that's leading by example. I think that's a perfect example of being responsible and being a partner. So for everybody that would say, oh, yeah, well, you know, the animal kingdom is a parenting authoritative, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't really see it that way. And if you would really look at some documentaries and some different things about how comprehensive animal feelings and understandings and interdynamic relationships are, they're just the same as humans, right? And probably more honorable, way more honorable. There's a code of understanding between them. So, okay, so we've talked a little bit about the difference of, or excuse me, about the source or derivation of the authority of a parent. Well, the source or derivation of authority from a partner is responsibility. It's duty. They're acting out of a sense of responsibility. I created this physical body that this being is inhabiting. I'm a custodian. I'm responsible for curating, or that's a term that steamers will like. Yeah, curating and responsibly showing the way or being a guide. And I know that my child will naturally just sort of independently break away from me, and that guidance will be less and less sought out, less and less needed. Or, you know, maybe they'll need more guidance from me as the years go on. It just depends on the inner dynamics of the souls that are interacting, the beings that are working together, right? Not everything's going to be cookie cutter. But there are really good things that you can do to be a partner, okay? The first thing being, stop and think why you're giving instructions. 9 times out of 10, if you're telling your child to do it, it's because it was ingrained or beaten into you as a kid yourself, right? You don't know why your kid's not, most people would say, oh, well, it's going to rot their brain or hurt their eyesight. Well, yeah, that may be true, but you don't know exactly why your parents told you to not sit in front of the TV. Yes, it could be true that that would hurt your eyesight, but they're probably just acting off something that was told to them and they're regurgitating it, right? So knowing first why you're giving the instruction, and if you don't know why and your child is smart and goes, well, why? Oh. Now you're not in a position to lie to that person and become a further parent, an authoritative control structure in their life that basically says, do what I say, you know, no matter what, even if it doesn't make sense. So by knowing first, a good first step as a partner, by knowing first what you're doing when you're instructing the child to do something, and then receiving their feedback as if they were a whole, complete, competent person, not some child who hasn't formulated their skills yet. There are exceptions. If your kid's 1.5 years old and hasn't started talking yet, there's a lot more things that you need to look out for in terms of safety. We're not advocating just throwing away safety precautions, okay? But there is a line. You got to draw the line between letting that child, as young as it is, experience what it's experiencing. If it's crawling around on all four limbs on their knees, and they all of a sudden go off the edge of a small little lip or a stair or something, they're not going to break their neck. They're not going to hurt themselves. It's literally a half of a foot drop down. They're going to be more careful where they're going, and they're going to learn better coordination and motor skills, right? So in that moment, you need to make the decision, okay, it seems like I'm being a bad parent, but do I let my child fall off, you know, fall off this little tiny little thing here? I'm not talking, don't get me wrong, I'm not talking like a giant step like you would go upstairs or something. I'm talking about a little bump or something. There's stuff like this in your environment, in your world. You know what I'm speaking of. If you visualize it, people that are listening, I know you can visualize what I'm speaking of, okay? You know that there's these little differences between life and death and experience, and that is the first step. And you'll find it's more about you than anybody else. It's more about you letting go of the fear, you letting go of the control, you letting go of the conditioning. That's the hardest part. And it will manifest in all these justifications or reasons why your child's in danger or why you can't do that or why, hey, Jordan, you're an asshole and you're an idiot for telling me to do this. But all of that is just bullshit, emotional, irrational, illogical stuff. Okay? And Corey, what do you have to say about it? I mean, it's sort of the partnering side of things. No. We cover the parenting side.
I'm not a parent. I haven't had that opportunity yet. I haven't created it for me, but I have lots of friends who've got kids. And one thing I notice is, right, kids fall down, right? They fall down all the time, especially when they're just learning to walk. They're going to fall down.
That's right.
Now, what I've noticed is that when kids fall down, typically, they'll look around to see if anyone saw them fall down.
That's right.
and then in a nanosecond gauge their reaction, and based on the reaction of the observers, in my experience, will usually dictate whether the kid starts to ball or not.
Oh, dude, you hit that right on the head. Thank you so much.
And the kid falls down and everyone goes, whoops, and is smiling and looking at the kid. More often than not, the kid's just going to go, whoops, and get back up and keep walking. Whereas if the kid looks around and mom is horrified, right, and comes rushing over, the kid's going to ball, man. Going to ball.
Yeah. Yep.
And in a small way, probably miss out on a little life lesson. Oh, you fall down, you get up. You're not hurt. You know, no need to be embarrassed. Get up, keep going.
I think you really touched a really salient point. I was going there next, from the crawling to the walking. I experience that constantly with the children here at the Garden of Eden, this eco village I've been staying at for the past 3 years. That's the same thing that we do for them. Well, we just say, oops, use your chi, shake it off, shake off your, walk around, and they do it. And I think that there's a projection in that moment, and there's a connection. So I said a projection first from the parent, and then there's a connection instantly, like you said, in a nanosecond, that child looks and says, how should I respond to this? This hasn't happened to me before. This is new data being input into my computer.
Right.
What code do I spit back out? And if they look around and they see the horrified look, it's not the horrified look and the rushing over. It's the energy that that parent is projecting onto that child. And they're really harming their child and scarring them from that experience, because they're going, oh, my God. And the child picks up on it because of such a close bond. You guys are on an energetic level. If some teacher is teaching a student, the student is in an energetic harmonic resonance with the teacher to be able to comprehend and regurgitate or utilize or apply the skills that are being taught, right? If you're not in alignment with learning something, you'll never learn it, which is why some things are more difficult than others. That's just simple universal contracting right there, okay? So that being said, I believe there's a harmonic state between, and this is just natural for anybody who's ever had a child, they can confirm this, harmonic state between the child and the parent. And Corey, what you're describing was spot on. It's exactly what's happening. The projection happens. And depending on whether you project safety, stability, recovery, it's okay, not a big deal, neutral energy, or whether you project, oh my God, you're going to die, are you hurt, oh my God, you know, let's get the band-aids, all that stuff, right? You're really molding the child. You're molding the most crucial experiences that this child is having. So, again, we got into all these details, but to go back to a macro scale, parenting, authoritative, doesn't know why they're giving the instructions 9 times out of 10. Coming from a self place of fear, concern, worry, irrational logic, emotions, right? Always, always conditioning, always telling, always instructing, always ordering. Now on the other side of the coin, partnering, right? Guiding, showing, standing, giving space, holding space. Those are two different things, right? You give your child space when they're upset. If they're crying, screaming, crying, crying, screaming, you let them sit there. And I literally, with my son, in the few times that I've been able to interact with him, my story is on Steemit and everywhere else. I'm currently negotiating a private parenting agreement that's been in the works for years to try to avoid family court. But at the times that I do see my son, I can literally see every single dysfunction that's been ingrained into him. And I'm slowly working to unwind those things. And no, I'm not perfect, but I do have the understanding because I've unwound them in myself. And so I'll see in my child, when he gets upset, he'll look, just like you said, Corey, he'll look around and he'll start bawling, screaming, kicking, doing anything he can to get the attention that he wants. And I'll stare right at him, right? I'll look right at him and I go into a Zen monk mode. I won't budge. I won't move. My breathing remains the same. I don't fluctuate my energy. I don't judge him for being upset. If he comes and kicks me in the shin, I don't get mad at him and slap him or spank him or any of these things that a parent would normally do. You understand? I let it run its course. And I notice that at about, let's say, when it first starts, every 5 minutes from the beginning of his temper tantrum, he's looking over at me, Corey, just like you said, right? He's looking over at me. He sees, oh, daddy hasn't changed. I guess I better do this some more. Goes back, looks over. Daddy hasn't changed. I'll tell you the one thing that does change is his frequency. He keeps looking quicker and quicker and quicker and less time in between until finally he's looking at me. The crying stopped. The flailing around has stopped. The ego of the child, if I need attention, so there's no way that I could stop crying because I've already started and I just have to make it worse. You know what I mean? I feel weird because I'm stopping and being silent. All of that goes away. And when he looks at me and he's silent and I'm silent, I open my arms and I don't have to say anything. I open my arms and say, I'm ready to embrace you now that you're calmed down and we can have a mutually beneficial experience. And he comes running into my arms. He hugs me. And he's never, ever, ever, ever thrown a temper tantrum after that first moment of us partnering together and holding space for each other. So the giving him space at first led to the holding of the space, right, energetically, and led to the conclusion, which was a mutually beneficial exchange, and my son learned that getting attention is not required by flailing around. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
He got what he was looking for, but not in the way that he thought he was going to get it.
That's right. And by giving that in the way that they want it, you're really taking from your child. So now we go into something called experience. And this is another, we're going to be hitting the two sides of the coin throughout this whole thing. Experience to a parent means, well, I'm old enough. I've passed this many years, which means I have enough experience and I've experienced enough things to be all knowing and I can tell my child everything. There's some magical point in my life where I just magically poof and now I'm experienced enough to dictate the life of another. Fuck you, that's bullshit. But if you really look at it, Corey, that's what all of these parents are justifying, control and authority and power over their children. Well, my child's not experienced enough to know that that's dangerous. So blah, 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 blah. And you know what, Corey? They might be right in rare, rare circumstances where a partner would have the logic and reasoning and understanding to go, okay, I need to step in here no matter what. Our partnering relationship at this point, being a guide, keeping my child safe is obviously number one. I need to step in. And if that means I need to throw some authority around, I do it responsibly. But to a parent, throwing that authority around is based on some magical date that never happened. Some magical date. Any parent out there, I fucking challenge you. I challenge you listening. I love you, but I challenge you. Name and support the date with evidence that you magically became an adult and had the right to dictate another's life, no matter how young they are. Name it. Oh, the day my child was born. Fuck that. No. That was a day that you incurred an extra duty and responsibility to be a guide. That's responsibility. You can't abdicate that by saying, oh, well, I'm experienced enough to do whatever I want and to be an authority figure over this person. That's fucking illogical. Doesn't work. And I'm also going to come back to the point that I don't think you can provide me a valid date. Therefore, you have two options. Continue being a parent, however shitty or nice you are at doing that, or start partnering with your child and undoing some of these years of conditioning, if you will, right? Corey, what do you think?
Well, something is coming to mind. I remember once, I was probably, I don't know, I couldn't have been more than 10. And I was having a conversation with my father. And he told me, and this blew my mind, at 10 years old, you know, I kind of got the gravity of it even at that age. He told me, he said, you have taught me more than I could ever teach you.
Mm. So he was being real with you and being a partner.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, even at 10 years old, I was like, whoa, that's a huge statement.
Huh.
And yeah, it's, I don't know. There's.
And how old are you? Sorry to interrupt. How old are you?
I'm almost 50.
So a clear, concise act of loving partnership stuck with you from what age?
10.
For over 40 years. You can clearly remember that.
Oh, yeah. And that's just, you know, okay. Every time I see parents with their children or think about my own possibility of being a father at some point, that thought comes to mind. You know, so I know I'll be entering into that scenario based on pretty much that criteria, you know.
Wow.
And other friends of mine, even, you know, friends with kids have validated that too. Friends of mine who are, I would say, are good partners, are partnering with their kids in the process of parenting.
Yeah, you're starting to see those movements pick up. There's the no schooling movement, the unschooling movement, the free ranging movement, where they treat their kids like chickens and free range them. There's still a level of authority, control, power, and unconsciousness, GMO foods or toxicities or, you know, giving them tap water and so on and so forth. There's a lot of good parents that know about all these things that are doing every single living, breathing moment of their day trying to control every aspect for their child. Now, for those parents that are doing such a good job, there's still a level of improvement, which would be partnering as to showing skills. What I mean by that is, okay, good. You've parented to the point, to the highest degree that you can, while lowering your control or authority levels to the point where your child is free and independent, but now you need to teach them how to protect themselves from the things that you're still holding on to parenting for. Oh, he still needs to be protected from chemtrails. He still needs to be protected from GMOs. Explain to your child, you are a powerful being. You have the energy to transmute these types of things. You have the energy to make your own reality. So I can give you guidance on how to do this, but you don't necessarily need me to coddle you anymore in these realms. Even though I'm not coddling you physically and you're independent on that level, you still have some improvement. So while they may not be neutering their child physically and they're doing an excellent job at providing all these good things, they're neutering their child energetically, and they won't have a powerful badass shaman that grows up. They'll have a very nice, healthy physical body, but sort of an underdeveloped or quashed spirit or energetic being, if you will. Does it make sense?
Right. Okay. There's layers of the parents' fears that they need to deal with themselves.
Okay. Well, Corey, real quick, I want to have you speak more into this when we get back. We're going to go to our first commercial break. I've actually started running commercials for a lady that I've met in Dallas-Fort Worth, and she's extremely, extremely proficient at running her business, and her name is Joy Keen. She runs the Dallas Blue Moon Psychic Fair. That's every month, if I'm not mistaken, or more than once a month. That information will be in the commercial that we're about to run, and I hope you enjoy it.
Come out to the Blue Moon Psychic Fair and Holistic Espo on Sunday, August 28th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Cypress Room of the Doubletree Hotel, located at 4099 Valley View Lane in Dallas, Texas. Participate in intuitive tarot, angel, and medicine card readings, as well as astrology, numerology, and palm readings. Access your spiritual guides, your past lives, the Akashic Records, and more offerings by shamans, psychic mediums, and clairvoyants. Also, receive reflexology, chair massage, energy balancing, back remedies, Reiki, and other alternative health modalities. Vendor services include aura photography, crystals, gems, essential oils, handmade jewelry, metaphysical supplies, sterling silver jewelry, nutritional supplies, weight loss products, and more, all available for purchase. A $7 cash donation will get you into the event, and free parking is available for all attendees. For more information, go to www.bluemoonexpo.com or contact Joy King at 214-734-5844.
Excellent, excellent. Corey, you did a wonderful job there. Yes, local listeners, you definitely want to get over to the Blue Moon Fair and Festival. In case you're wondering exactly where it's at, if you're coming from 635, if you're heading west, you'll want to exit Midway. You'll go north and get onto the service road immediately, and then the Doubletree is right off to the right. It splits off as Valley View Lane. And then if you're coming from the opposite direction, obviously you want to exit Midway. You'll do a little loop around and stay on the service road, go off to the right. Doubletree is there, and they have everything and more that was described. It is a fantastic fair. It needs a lot of attention as far as you guys that are local. You need to swarm that place. You will not find anything better. I've been to lots of fairs all over the place. The energy there, the authenticity, and the originality is just one of a kind. You know, there's a lot of fakers and stuff like that in this type of realm. And I'm a pretty good judge of energy. And every single booth I've ever walked by in that location, because I went and looked at everything, I could feel love. I could feel genuineness. I could feel why they were doing that, right? So get out there, support Joy, and support the local healers in your area in Dallas-Fort Worth. Okay, we're going to be running that commercial twice a week for the next month on our shows because I feel it's very strongly feel that it's important that people get their psychic energies, their psychic skills up. And the first step in doing that is meeting somebody who has that. Okay. Corey, thank you so much for voicing that over. That was perfect. Let's get back into it. We got a few more minutes here on the show. I think that we should talk about memory patterns and scarring because you brought up a really good point about how your memory pattern of that event with your partner or your parent as a partner, I should say, is still with you. It's still vivid. It's still clear, right? Now, on the opposite side of the coin, there is there's parenting scars, of which I'm, you know, I have my own, right? Say, for example, maybe you don't really know the value of an item. Everything's negotiable as to value, right? So what your parent might value as, you know, that cost me $1,000 and it's signed by Wayne Gretzky or something, you might value as, oh, this will be fun to play with for 5 minutes until I destroy it. And sometimes that leads to parental scars. Not only for you, but for the parent, because the parent's like, oh my God, I'm scarred because I put so much value into this. But then they're also scarred because their natural reaction usually is to yell at the child, to verbally or emotionally vomit onto the child, as opposed to partnering with them and saying, hey, I probably should have explained a little bit better to you or put this somewhere where it was out of your reach, but I didn't. I failed to do that. I apologize. You know, can you forgive me for getting upset? Sure, Daddy. Great. Thank you. Is there something else you want to go play with? And then go move on. Not only does it help you release material things, it clears any energy. It doesn't form a scar in you, and it doesn't form a scar in the child. But the typical situation is going to be, oh my God, what the fuck are you doing? Put that down right now. Put that fucking shit down right now. And then obviously a hand slapping or a spanking, or if you're totally dysfunctional and shouldn't have children, then something worse, you know, which does happen. There's child abuse. It happens. And it usually comes from dysfunctional parents. Okay. So avoiding that altogether means starting with yourself. And you'll find a lot of the partnering aspect just means a parent needs to start looking at themselves and reassessing or reevaluating the relationship to the child, not the other way around. Okay. So having the duty to explain what's valuable in your life and what's not, having the duty to explain why. What's a child's favorite question?
At about 3 years old?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Why, Corey? Why do you think that is?
Why? Why? If you haven't asked yourself that question over and over again to your own responses to the original question.
Thank you. Exactly where I was going.
Get ready.
That's right, man. And then get ready for some dysfunction that will follow you the rest of your life. Get ready for telling your child a white lie.
Or
why is it? Go ahead.
Yeah, or ultimately be able to say, you know what? I don't know.
There you go. There you go. Just be honest with your kid. Fucking be honest with them. Daddy, why can I have a blah blah? Why can't I have sugar? Oh, because it will make you hyper. Really? Is that just what you've heard? Have you really done a controlled double-blind study that sugar will make every child hyper? And even if it does make children hyper, for the most part, there's going to be exceptions. How do you know your child's not one of those exceptions? Wouldn't you want your child to be powerful and not burdened by something as simple as sugar and changing their emotional frequency? Well, yeah. So wouldn't you want your child to be exception? Yes. So why are you weeding them out and lumping them in with everybody else? Why don't you let your child decide what's good for their body to a certain extent? Obviously, you're not going to let them eat sugar all the time. But if you explain to them, well, hey, you know, little Johnny, hopefully you don't have a little Johnny for your kid because little Johnny is an asshole. If you haven't heard about those jokes, then you don't know what I'm talking about. But hey, little Johnny, if you eat sugar right now, there's a possibility that it will change your blood, change your hormones, and change your something, you know, whatever, in a way that you don't want. But if you eat this healthy food first and then have a little bit of sugar, it will help you balance out. It'll be more healthy for you, and you'll have more energy. You know, which do you want to do? And again, part of partnering is making the assessment. If what the child chooses either way is not harmful, let them choose either way. You know, you'll see the fake choice. Parents, you're guilty of this. Don't fucking argue with me. You're guilty of this. I fucking see it everywhere. Johnny, do you want this? Or do you want this? Shake it around. It all flashy. Do you? Okay. Wait, no. And they choose the thing that you try to like downplay.
Approval.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They're smart and they choose the thing that you try to downplay. But wait, no, no, Johnny. Do you want this? Or do you want this? And if you
Are you sure?
Yeah. You know, and even promise them extra incentives. See, if you eat your vegetables, though, then we'll do that. But if you eat this, we won't do that. That is total fucking lies. That's deceit. That is fucking bad. There's no wrong or right, but that shit is bad right there. Don't do that.
There is, it could be said to be manipulation.
You're guilty. Slap yourself on the wrist. Move on. Okay? Okay, now that's what we're talking about is memory patterns and scars, man. We'll come back to that. That is a scar. And it's an implant, and that when your child grows up to negotiate a certain situation with a loved one, a spouse, or God forbid, his child, his or her child, at that point, what do you think they're going to do? Well, hey, little Susie, do you want this or do you want that? And it's just like a vicious, never-ending cycle, and we have the world the way it is today. Obviously, of course, with the help of social engineering, MK Ultra programs, and vaccines and GMOs and fluoride in the water and chemicals in the water and chemtrails, all that stuff helps make a whole general population of stupid people, but also the conditioning. You understand?
Hey, you know, I got one for you. You know, I like the English language, right? Have you ever thought of the word adult?
Adult.
Adult. Adulterate means to make impure.
Sounds about right, Corey. Sounds about right.
So there's a lot of corrupted individuals who happen to be of a certain age. They're grown, but they're corrupt. So, yes, I guess being an adult is the reality for many folks.
I think that is absolutely 100% true. And we've been talking a lot about issues, conditioning, problems, differences, contrasts, so on and so forth. Now let's speak to the parenting side, because obviously if you're partnering, you're well on your way to being a self-fulfilling, rational, fully whole, complete, competent being that is also guiding and instructing a whole, complete, competent being, right? But if you're parenting, which is most of you, be honest, just be honest, okay? And to a certain extent, where I've failed to negotiate a private parenting agreement by not having enough money up front to appeal to my ex-baby mama's greedy interests, I've failed in that regard, and I've accepted that. I'm willing to admit failure, and I'm constantly looking for new solutions, which I'm working on right now, right? But that's me being a partner, is in the instances where my child needs me and I'm not able to get there in certain times or locations. I understand that I'll be able to explain later on when he's older or in the next time that we finally make some sort of agreement again, I'll be able to go, Jensen, look, this is what happened. Your daddy did this, this, and this. Obviously, it wasn't enough because it didn't happen sooner, but I'm okay with that, and here's where I'm at. I love you anyways. Can you forgive me? Sure or no. Either way, I'm okay, and I'll work from that position, right? That's being a partner, and that's not being attached to having a controlling love me, love me, love me relationship. Which, you know, that's what parenting is. It's an extension of a void or a gap in the child that just grew up to be the adulterer, right? So here's how we can start. We'll end with some solutions. Here's how we can start making it better. Parents, you're already hovering, for the most part. You're already aware of every single situation or interaction with your child. Even if you're on your cell phone because your child pesters you 1,000 times a day, each of those 1,000 times, I know you're aware of your child's either endangerment or not endangerment. So if you can be aware of every single interaction of whether your child is in danger or not, all you need do is take the time, energy, and commitment to expand that to awareness of your child's interactions on the whole. Meaning, stop just not looking at what you're saying or what you're doing in all these other interactions. So, if your child's in danger, what you're going to do is you're going to automatically step in, take control, grab the child, keep them from falling, beat the shit out of whoever's trying to endanger them, whatever the case may be. But in all the other situations where your child's spilling juice on the floor, making a mess, not cleaning up their toys, yada, 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 before you open your fucking mouth and scar that little being, you need to think, why? What self-serving interest am I doing by commanding this person to do something? Why am I telling them to get the toys off? Is there a legitimate danger of me falling, tripping, breaking my bones, or somebody else in the house? Okay, great. Now how do I go about this in a way that I can partner with my child? Rather than being lazy and just going, get those fucking toys out of here. I thought I told you to clean that shit up. And justifying that to yourself as you have the authority to do that. Understand?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, the motivations.
That's right. What are your motivations, not the kid's motivations? That's the first step, Corey. Looking at yourself, looking within, and then being aware of every single interaction with your child, not just the life-threatening ones. Now, at that point, the second part is to come to an acceptance. Here's your ego that's going to slap you around a bit, parents. Coming to an acceptance that you have created a whole, perfect, and powerful being. And no matter what size or container that being comes in, you are not more entitled or more powerful or more authoritative than that person, of course, with the exceptions of life-threatening situations, right? Now, by letting go of that power control, you're probably going to run into a few issues that you haven't dealt with yourself as an adult. That is really, that's the easiest way, is looking at your behavior with your children and going, okay, what from my childhood is causing this? That's just logical right there. Okay. And if you can pinpoint that, come to acceptance of it, and then find a better way, your child will respect you for it, even if they can't comprehend the steps that you had to take to go through it. Because all they're going to see is what they usually see, and that's the result, the end result, what came out of the computer after you did all your computations. Make sense? So, Corey, just based on, you might have some bad imprints or some bad scars. Based on those, and you can share or not share however you like, but based on those and your remembering of those in this moment, is there anything that you'd like to share for our listeners, our potential partners, or our parents out there that are trying to make a change? Something that really stuck with you that might be common that a lot of parents would do? And then tell us how you feel.
Yeah, I mean, this goes along with what we were saying. Basically, know thyself. And if your life is out of control, don't take it out on your kids, right? Regardless of how your kids are behaving or what have you, I've overcome some situations where one of my parents was struggling and probably fearful. How am I going to pay the rent? How am I going to, I'm working three jobs and, so on and so forth. And don't keep a lid on it, folks. Keep a lid on it. Take a breath. Take a breath before. And that would be the case with any kind of situation, with another grown person. Any situation that comes up, take a breath, take a step back before just reacting.
Yeah, I really dig that, and I think there's a sense of entitlement that most people have as far as not needing to care about an adult's reactions. So that's why their interactions with their children are so much different, because if they said the same thing to an adult, well, they know that. Well, number one, I'm not going to say it if that person's going to beat my ass and punch me for saying it. Number two, that person's big enough. They won't get hurt. They won't be butthurt about it. Number three, that person can understand why I might be angry or yada, 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 and they can take that for what it is and choose to either be upset or not. And there's that ingrained knowing that a person who's grown up has some sort of level, skill, or degree of mastery as to responding or taking shit from other people. Now, with the children, it's different because they haven't learned that. They don't know the context of why you're upset. All that comes across to them is, I did something wrong. I did something wrong. I did something wrong. And it conditions that sense of shame into that child just because you were having a bad day about the bills. Whereas if you would have complained to your spouse goes, oh, honey, you're just having a bad day. Because they know they've experienced that dysfunction themselves, right? But for somebody who you're trying to keep from having dysfunction, if you put that dysfunction on them, it creates the dysfunction, and now you've just created another version of you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then if you're cognizant, well, then you have to try to undo it. But that's closing the barn door after that.
Yeah, there's no point after that. After you scarred the person, there's no point in trying to put medical cream on the scar, right?
Yeah. You know, I had another really profound experience. This was when I was in my 20s. I was living in France, Paris, mostly for about 3 years. And there was a friend of mine. He was from Senegal, African dude. And musician, very spiritual individual, and I was at his house one day, and his daughter, probably about 3 or 4 years old. So it was the three of us. I guess we were in the living room or whatever, and my friend leaves the room for whatever reason, and all of a sudden daughter starts talking, and I realize she's talking with her father, who's in the other room, who is not speaking audibly. So what I gather from that situation was that this man and his daughter were having a telepathic conversation. She was answering him.
Interesting. That's quite possible, and I don't doubt it. The level of connection, like I said, harmonic resonance is there. I will say this, though. It is also quite possible that, given the culture difference, that the child may have been ingrained not to speak while the father or male authority figure was around and can only speak when spoken to or something like that. So there is that side of the coin.
I mean, we were having regular conversations.
Really?
She was in the room. Yeah, three-way conversation.
Okay.
I was talking with her.
Great.
We were, all three of us were interacting with each other. And then I think he almost did it to show me.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And then he came back in and kind of sat back down and, kind of resumed the conversation. I bring that up to say that in light of a lot of the things we talk about that we're interested in and that we discuss on shows and so forth.
You're going in and out. I heard a little bit of what you said.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
There you are. A lot of what we discuss, what?
Yeah, a lot of, esoteric things, energetics, a lot of the subject matters that we discuss on the show that are kind of outside the norm, realm of normalcy, if you will. aside from just navigating being a parent and being a partner with your child, I bring up that incident and that situation to make light of the fact that if you're really partnering and you really know yourself,
the possibilities are endless at that point.
Possibilities are immense.
Yeah. I truly believe that the children entering this planet are pretty much like, okay, enough is a fucking enough. You guys shot in here. You got tricked. You got screwed around. Your life agreements were messed with. You may have got here and forgot who the fuck you were and what you're doing. And then when you died in that physical life, you got trapped in the little tunnel of white light. And you saw Jesus or Sananda or Baba G or some other, whoever you believe in, or your family member, and then, oh, come with me, my child, and then boom, they fucking got you, put you back in another body, you forgot who you are again. And the children that are coming on this planet, man, the ones that are not just being recycled back into bodies over and over, the ones that are coming from outside dimensions, outside areas, they are fucking powerful, and they will not give up their shit for any reason. They won't give up their skills. They know what they're doing. And I have no doubts, now that I have clarification, that that wasn't some sort of dysfunctional interaction. I have no doubts that was definitely some sort of non-typical communication exchange, however you want to call it, okay? And that's where it can really lead to, is if you work with these powerful beings, if your child was born recently, or you know, no matter when they were born, you will be able to tell, okay, this is a regular human being, and it's probably another soul that's contracted with me to guide them and yada, yada, yada. Or this is a powerful ass being that I should not be fucking conditioning or destroying or scarring with my bullshit, and I'll do the best I can to stand in for him. Does it make sense?
And I might learn something.
That's right. It's, there you go. Bringing it back to your main thing. You might learn something from them. Okay, so wrap it up. We've got like 2 minutes left. We'll wrap it up. Parenting, not really that good. Old school doesn't work anymore. Partnering, that's the new way. It's equality. It's responsibility. It's duty. Yes, you're going to look out for life-threatening situations, but you're not going to exercise the control and authority based upon your dysfunctions. That's basics of partnering. Okay? Next week, we should have a gentleman by the name of Dean. We've got to work out the scheduling with him. We'll have another topic if not. But when he comes on, he is an author. He's written a few books, I believe. And he's a very avid researcher into the Illuminati control structure. On this show, we talk a whole lot about the energetic control structure in the etheric realms, the archons, the people or the things that have been running these software programs and all these automatic things that are trapping souls and conditioning souls on this planet. Holding negative vibes, war, death, disease, famine, starting all of these things. Yes, they have physical decisions from people on the planet that cause some of these things, but most war, most everything is started by these energetic levels, and then it's carried out and maintained, maintenanced by these satanic cults and what people would call the Illuminati. We'll get into that next week or whenever we can get him on. And I want to thank you very much for listening to the show. To end the show again, we're going to go ahead and play Joy King's commercial. We'll be playing that throughout the show for the next month, twice a show. Again, listeners, if you're in the local area, get your butt over to Blue Moon Expo. Buy yourself some gems, get some Reiki healing, get some sort of tarot card reading. The tarot is not some magical thing that's, you know, blasphemy or anything like that. It's literally coming from your consciousness, and the tarot reader is the person who's skilled or deft at channeling that energy, okay? So we'll bid you adieu. We'll run that commercial at the end of the show, and we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Love you very much. Work within.
Come out to the Blue Moon Psychic Fair and Holistic Espo on Sunday, August 28th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Cypress Room of the Doubletree Hotel located at 4099 Valley View Lane in Dallas, Texas. Participate in intuitive tarot, angel, and medicine card readings, as well as astrology, numerology, and palm readings. Access your spiritual guides, your past lives, the Akashic Records, and more offerings by shamans, psychic mediums, and clairvoyants. Also, receive reflexology, chair massage, energy balancing, back remedies, Reiki, and other alternative health modalities. Vendor services include aura photography, crystals, gems, essential oils, handmade jewelry, metaphysical supplies, sterling silver jewelry, nutritional supplies, weight loss products, and more, all available for purchase. A $7 cash donation will get you into the event, and free parking is available for all attendees. For more information, go to www.bluemoonexpo.com or contact Joy King at 214-734-5844.